One of the measures we talked about last week was back on the floor this week and looks like it's on its way as we record this on Thursday morning to a final passage to allow some parents to have education savings accounts.
Right. It is a major step forward, I believe, in providing the best educational opportunities possible to every Missouri student. It is called an education savings account. That's the underlying bill. There were a number of amendments that were added on the floor, all of which support giving students more options, giving parents more choices in how their children are educated and where they're educated. We know we have some schools in Missouri, many schools that do a very good job in the public institution arena. We have a few that don't. A number of those are in St. Louis, a few in Kansas City. There's actually one building in Springfield, even though that district is highly rated. There's one building that would be unaccredited if we accredited or unaccredited by buildings. One aspect of 313 that was part of an amendment was that we would begin in Missouri accrediting buildings rather than entire school districts, so that if you're son or daughter is in a building that is unaccredited, is not doing a good job of educating them, that they would have the option of moving to another building in that district that was, or absent that availability, could even be moving outside the district. The underlying bill provides a tax credit funded scholarship, so this would be money that would be donated in lieu of taxes, would be managed by the Department of the Treasurer, the Treasurer's Office, would provide up to $25 million the first year, and subsequent years would just be probably subject to review depending on how much of that $25 million was subscribed, but it would be subject to certain criteria in terms of applicants. Right now, Senator Koenig's bill, which is the 313, only applies to special needs students. So it's primarily those who have IEPs, well, special needs and foster children. One of the amendments that was added on the floor was active military children, which makes a lot of sense when you consider that sometimes those families move around. If they were moving to move into Missouri, would give them some options in terms of where they might send their children to be educated. And of course, then they might move out, someone else might move in. So that's one of the options. We also included by amendment the transfer bill, what some might know as the transfer bill that we passed out of the Senate twice and was vetoed twice by the governor. And we were unable to override that veto in either situation. But it allows students who are in a failing building to transfer out, what I was discussing earlier with a failed building. So the newest part of the bill is the education savings account. It gives the option of the parent up to a certain amount of money, which is going to be around $6,200, depending on what the average allowance is per student in Missouri. They can then use up to that amount on education of any children that they have that they believe would be better suited in some environment or some education, application of education principles outside of the typical state-sponsored school. They could use that to provide tutoring if they were home educating their children. They could provide it as special tutoring just as the education. They could use it to go to a private school. They could even use it to go to another public school if there was one available to them. And so that gives parents real choices in how their children are educated. I'm convinced that the best choices for children are made by parents who have options to consider and who know their children the best. So I'm encouraged that we were able to pass it. That bill is in fiscal oversight right now. It's being reviewed while we're awaiting some numbers from the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education as to just exactly how it might benefit the state in terms of education dollars, since some of these special needs children are costing the state well over the amount that's allocated through the education savings account. And so if a parent chose to move that child somewhere else, they would be constrained by that limit, but the school district would not be spending anything on that child. And so there would be actually a potential of savings to the individual school districts if some of these parents find options that they believe would be better for their special needs children.
You have another measure that I believe is making its way through that I believe came from a constituent of yours, the idea anyway.
Yes, Senate Bill 99, we just passed this week. It probably will be third read today. That bill, a constituent had suggested to me several years ago. I filed it a number of times, actually had it on a bill last year that died in conference because the clock just ran out on us. That bill wasn't the problem. It would have probably stayed on the bill, but the clock ran out and we were not able to pass it last year. It applies to victims in a protection order. If a judge issues a protection order against me, then I'm not allowed to go certain places to approach some protected individual. And if I violate that, then I can be tried for that violation, can be convicted, could even be jailed or fined or somehow punished. One of the problems that we have with protection orders, typically the way a violation would be reported would be that the person that was being protected from me would when I would maybe approach the home where I was not allowed to be, and they would call and say that I was in violation. Law enforcement would be dispatched. By the time law enforcement got there, I would be long gone, and they wouldn't catch me in the act, and so there would be no violation. That's one of the problems that we have. What Senate Bill 99 allows judges to do, if in that case I had already violated that protection order and been convicted of that violation, but had been released on my own recognizance or for some other reason was not incarcerated, I could be forced to wear this bracelet, which would notify that victim if I did violate that protection order. It works off of a GPS-type tracker, and it simply puts a fence of protection around the victim. It could be set up so that it protected them in their home, protected them in their workplace, any place where that protection order might be needed. That could be set up, and if I happened to walk into that with that bracelet on, it would notify law enforcement. It would also notify the victim that I was in violation. A couple of reasons that's very valuable is that, for one, that victim would know immediately that they might need to be careful, might need to take some action to be sure that they were protected. Number two is law enforcement could use the record of that violation to convict me of being in violation. They would no longer have to catch me at the front door of the house or in the workplace that I was prohibited from. They would have that digital record that said I had been in violation, I had broken the rules, and I could then be jailed or somehow else fined. The other option that's available is in the case where someone violates a protection order and they're allowed to give the violator the option of either going to jail or putting on this bracelet and not having to go to jail until maybe a trial or some other action had to be taken. Now, one of the concerns, of course, is whether sometimes the protected person might have objections to having this violator being forced to wear the bracelet. So part of the bill is that the protected person has to agree to it. So if you're the one that's protected and I'm considered to being braceletized, if you had objection to that for some reason, well, maybe it was a personal reason or something else, you could say you don't want that to happen and it wouldn't happen. So we've tried to take every precaution here to make sure that everybody that's affected has their rights protected, but they also have their safety protected. In terms of expenses, a judge would also have the option, if court found that person indigent, of declaring them that they were indigent, could not afford the bracelet, in which case the Department of Corrections would pick up the cost for that bracelet. So we've tried to cover every corner. This came out of a constituent in Cass County whose daughter was killed in what they thought was a violation of a protection order. It wasn't ruled that, according to law enforcement. There was some question about how the death had occurred, but they were concerned that it may have been their daughter was a person who was being protected by a protection order, which had been violated more than once. This is an idea that they had brought to me, and I've been working for several years to try to get it to this point on the calendar. Hopefully this year we can get it passed into the governor.